words. Valuable information on love, faith, and prayer that can make your life more meaningful. Love is believing, trusting, helping, sharing, encouraging, confiding, understanding, caring, feeling, touching, giving, praying. Love is communication. Love is an emotion. Love is passionate. Alive, vibrant, and warm. Love is something that gets better all the time. Love is the greatest need of man, so love is the greatest service to man. Love is spiritual, but is manifested in the physical. Love is seen as it is put into action. Love is thoughtfulness. Love is always. It knows no hours nor days. Love is always finding a way. Love is giving all. Love is rare, the unselfish kind. Love is priceless. Love is its own reward. Love is not hurting anybody. Love is choosing to suffer and hurt yourself so that you can help someone else. Love is courage. Love is total sacrifice. Love is never lost. It always has its effect sooner or later. Love is forever. Love is saying you're sorry. Love is quick to forgive. Love is humbling. The truly loving are truly humble. Love is the name of God. Love is the power of God. Love is God. God is love. The Word of God is like a map to help you find your way through life. You should no more try to find your own way through life than you should try to take a trip without a map. While traveling along a road, you can only see what's around you moment by moment. But if you look at the map and have faith in it, you can also see where the road came from, regardless of where you started out yourself. And even if you've never been to your final destination or traveled that road before, you can know where the road is supposed to end. But if you don't take time to study the map, you could waste an awful lot of time and maybe even ruin your chances of getting to your destination at all. Just as you must look at the map, believe it's true, and follow it to get where you're going, if you will take God's word, believe that it is for you, read it, and follow it, you'll come out at heaven, absolutely, without fail. Just follow the map book, and you'll know where you're going. God can see it all, and he not only knows where you are right now and where you came from, your past, but he knows where you're going. Do you? You can. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Most people today seem to put the stories of Jesus and his disciples way back in the past. They're looked on as fairy tales. They have no reality to them. God is far away, heaven is far away, Jesus has long been dead. Everything is so far away. But the Lord is just as real as ever, and can still do the same, and even more so. God is still alive, well, and working just as powerfully as ever amongst those that trust in him. He says in the Bible, "I am the Lord, I change not." And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The day of miracles is not past. God's word and his guarantees have no restrictions, no limitations, no qualifications, except our faith. All God asks of us is that we honor him with faith by believing the promises in his word. When you pray, bring those promises with you to remind him. When you remind God of his word, it shows you have faith in it. It's a positive declaration of your faith and your knowledge of the word, which pleases God. So quote scriptures and hold God to his word. Keep on believing. God answers prayer. Keep on believing. He's still up there. He has never failed in one of his good promises. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy life, but enjoy the Lord most of all. God intended for us to enjoy this world and to love him and enjoy him and it forever. He made all things for you to enjoy, and he created the very senses with which you enjoy them. If you put God first and his kingdom and his righteousness first, you can enjoy them all to the full. Every good and perfect gift that God has sent down from above, that God himself created for you to enjoy as his child. Enjoy the pleasures which God has given you to enjoy as much as you please and as much as you need, but just don't enjoy them more than him and more than his love. If you have an inordinate desire for too much of these things and worship these things more than God, then it becomes a sin. Don't let them take first place in your life, because God will not take second place. He wants your love above all others. He wants to be your God above all others. And he will have no other gods before Him. Be sure that you put God first. Love and worship Him above all, and thank Him for all these things that He has given us to enjoy. Then you can have all this and heaven too. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to trust the Lord? Faith in God, trust in God, gives you a feeling of rest of body, peace of mind, contentment of heart, and spiritual well-being. When you know that God loves you, you know that everything is going to be okay, including His taking care of everything. Then you can have peace of mind, and you can just rest in the Lord. But worry can kill you. The Bible tells us, fear hath torment. How true. Fear is a killer. You can worry yourself sick, worry yourself to death. This is why faith in Christ and His Word is the greatest cure that you could possibly have. Faith is the opposite of fear, and when you have faith, you cannot fear. You either have one or the other. And if fear displaces faith, then you've got problems. But if you cling to God and the Lord and His Word and replace fear with faith, then you've got solutions. So rest your case with Him. He never fails. And if you truly trust Him, He'll see you through. Help us not to worry, Lord, because we trust You, and we keep our minds stayed on You, and You keep us in perfect peace. We know You're going to handle everything, Lord, and You know what's best to do, and we know that You're in control, Lord. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, here no fears alarm me. Here can my soul find rest. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Every day millions of Christians all over the world pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. But most of them probably don't really appreciate the tremendousness of that statement in the Lord's Prayer, and how literally it's going to come true and be fulfilled. It's actually going to be like heaven on earth, with God's will being done and His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told His disciples, "The kingdom of God is within you." This is true for all of us who know and love the Lord. We already have heaven on earth in our hearts. But during the coming 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, the millennium, He's going to wipe away all this hell on earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom of peace and righteousness and fairness and justice and goodness and mercy and love. And that's going to literally be heaven on earth. His kingdom won't only be within us, but it will be all around us. The kingdom of Christ on earth is going to completely cover the whole world. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. God's word is always a comfort, and the voice of his Spirit is always an encouragement in the hour of greatest trial. The Bible says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When you think about that, it helps you bear some of the things you have to go through now. Sorrow may endure for a season, but joy cometh in the morning. Keep your eyes on the Lord, look forward to heaven, and it will help you bear some of these burdens and trials that you're going through now, when you realize these are only just for a moment. Now you see through a glass darkly, but soon it will all be clear, and you'll understand. God's tomorrow is a beautiful place. You'll be with Jesus and all your loved ones, and no sorrow will be there. Praise God. The tears shall be wiped away, and the former things shall be no more, in the glories of the ecstasies of the kingdom to come. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would simply do what Jesus said to do? Jesus said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So, of course, when people don't treat others with much love, they're going to have problems. And they have. In fact, all of the evils in the world today are caused by men's lack of love for God and each other. The simple love of God and each other is still God's solution, even in such a complex, confused, and highly complicated society as that of the world today. It's still just that simple. If we love God, we can love each other, and even respect ourselves as his creation. We can then follow his rules of life, liberty, and the possession of happiness, and all will be well and happy in him. So ask God to help you love your neighbors with his love. And remember, neighbor doesn't only mean the one that lives next door. It is anyone we meet that needs our help, regardless of their race, creed, color, nationality, or condition. A little love and understanding and tolerance and sharing could go such a long way in solving all of the world's problems. In fact, this is our goal, to love God and our neighbors as ourselves, and as a result, bring love to this whole world, and peace, and freedom, and plenty to all. To love God and thy neighbor would solve all of the world's problems. Do you? Love will solve all your problems, too. You get what you ask for, and what you have faith for. The Lord is trying to be as good to us as possible, and He will give you whatever you want that's good for you, because He loves you. He promises, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." But sometimes the Bible tells us that we have not because we ask not. So if you really need something, pray it in. Pray for it. Just be careful what you ask the Lord to do, because He'll take you literally. The Lord will take you exactly at your word and your faith. The true story is told of a certain preacher who prayed, "Lord, give me a car. I need a car. I'm desperate for a car, Lord. Any old car." And that's exactly what he got. Exactly what he asked for. A real clunker. He said, "Next time I prayed for a good car, and I got it." God is very definite, so be definite with him. He says, "Command ye me." He'll give you what you ask for, and certainly what you have the faith for. That's the way the Lord blesses, if you trust Him, if you please Him, if you follow Him, if you obey Him, if you're getting the work accomplished that He wants you to accomplish. God will give you what you have faith for, and you should have faith for what you need. If the need is there, the answer must be there too. So just look around and pray it in. Eternal salvation by grace means once saved, always saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life right now, no ifs, ands, or buts about it." You already have it. You don't have to worry about, are you going to have it, or are you going to fall from grace, or are you going to manage to stay saved, or are you going to manage to keep true and then finally be given the reward of salvation for your faithfulness? Salvation is not a reward. It's not pay. It's not wages. It is a gift that you don't earn by faithfulness or any kind of works of your own. And that's all there is to that. Nothing else, no other way, no righteousness of your own. None of your own good works. None of these can keep you saved any more than they can save you in the first place. Only Jesus can do it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. A works salvation is no salvation at all. You cannot be good enough. No matter how many good deeds that you do, they won't save you. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's impossible to save yourself. You have eternal life through his Son, which is the gift of God, and you cannot lose it, for he will keep you. You are the Lord's forever. We walk by faith, not by sight. So many people today say, "I'll believe it when I see it." Seeing is believing. But that's not the way that faith works. To the Christian, believing is seeing. God wants us to trust him and believe first of all, and then we'll see the answer. He puts us through that period of faith and believing and trusting to see if we really love him and are willing to trust him. He wants to see if we really have faith. He appreciates our faith to believe what we cannot see. We can't expect faith from God for our situation when we're looking at the waves, looking at ourselves, looking at the conditions. Instead of looking at God. Man says, "Tie up in port, don't attempt the impossible, you'll sink." God says, "Launch out into the deep, cast forth your nets, and I'll give you such a draught that there will not be room enough to hold it." Man says, "Look at the condition of your vessel, you can't do it." God says, "Look at me. With man it is impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. And all things are possible to him that believeth." Keep your eyes on Jesus. His promises avail. Keep your eyes on Jesus. His word can never fail.